All right, we're going to start on the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. There's a Mishnah that the Gemara actually brought on the Daf Tet. There, the Gemara brought it and says Va'it Ketuvah. Right, the Gemara over there said that there are only three things that are similar or parallel between Shtar Shichror and Get Isha. The Gemara says, well, we have additional items that we see similarities between Get Shichror and Get Isha, and this Mishnah is one of the items that the Gemara brought over there. So Gemara says over there that this doesn't qualify to be one of those items that's enumerated as being similar because this is a din that's true of all shtaros, not unique to Get Shichror and to Get Isha. So what is the din? HaOmer, the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amalaf, HaOmer, Tnu Get Zeh Ishti. Someone says, give this get to my wife, Shtar Shichror Zeh Avdi, or give this document of freedom to my Evet, Umeitz, and he passes away, Lo Yitnu Lachar Mita. You're not allowed to give the get after death. After he's passed away, you can't give the get. It's new money li ishploni, but on the other hand, if he says, give this money to this individual, umeit, and then he dies, yitnu la'achar mita, you could still give the gift after death. Now, as far as the Mishnah, there's actually a machlokas here about what the girsa should be in the Mishnah, because the problem comes up, we know, that if you give, we've seen in the previous Mishnah, if you give a get shichur for an eved, to a shliach, then the shliach, according to the Rabbanon, is zoche for the Eved, and he's nishtachrer, he's freed right away, immediately. So over here, when he says, Omer tznu get zeli ishti, or shtar hashichru zel avdi, if he hands over a shtar and says, give this to the Eved, then the Eved was kona immediately. And then why are we worrying about lachar miso? After his death, the Eved's already freed already. We don't worry about after death. So because of this, there are emendations to the girsa of the Mishnah. So Rashi over here, if you look in Rashi, the first emendation of the Mishnah, he says, Lo garsinan tain. There's no girsa of tain, give, in this Mishnah. Shalom masram liyat shliach b'chayav. Because it's obvious he did not hand it over to the shliach during his lifetime. Because if he did hand it over to the shliach in his lifetime, then you would end up with the machlokas Rabbanon and Rabbi Meir, whether it's zochen or it's a chov, lo. Because, right, that's why the Chachamim are not arguing over here that the Eved should be freed right away. Because if the Shtar was given, then the Eved would be free immediately, and then there'd be a Rabbanan saying that there's no Achar Misa here because it already was completed prior to Misa. So Rashi eliminates or takes out the word Tain or Tznu here in the Mishnah in order to eliminate that problem. The second thing to notice in Rashi is, if you remember, we had the Rashi on Daf Tet, who had that unusual shita that when he gave over the get and the Rabbanan said Zachet Shalob Afanav, that was only his chus Shalob Lachzer Bo, that he can't reverse it, but not that the Eved actually becomes Nishtachrer. Over here, as Tosos points out on Daf Tet, Rashi is clearly saying, like Tosos did over there, when he gives the get, the Zochin means that he's free. He's totally free at that moment. So there's a steer to the Rashi, or the previous Rashi, as Tosos points out on Daf Tet. And in addition, over here, the Rabbeinu Tam also eliminates the word zeh, this get, over here, zeh. Rather, because you don't need, why would you need get zeh, this get, or this particular get? Says there's no chiddush in saying that it's get zeh. And in addition, what's the, right, we're not giving a physical document over here. When he's saying tnu get li ishti, he's meaning either write the get, or give a get to his wife, but he's not actually handing him any physical get here, because otherwise, again, we run into that problem. So now, once, you know, right, there's not going to be much left with the Mishnah. All right, so the case is, he says, Omer, get lishti, you know, or, you know, kitfu get lishti, give this, or write this get for my wife, right, star shichor zel avdi, or this star shichor, or star shichor avdi. Umeis, then he dies, lo nilachar misa, he can't give after misa. So you say to me, right, what's the chiddush? That's a, right, or lo yicht. All right, so Tosos actually comes up with a case where he could write it before misa, but he doesn't hand it to him. If it's written, and he just shows him where the get is, he says, give the get to my wife, and there's a get sitting there, then also he hasn't handed it. Tosos says if he doesn't hand it to the shliach, then there's no din of zochin, because Zochin only works miyad liyad, when you hand it over to the shliach. But if you just point to the shliach where it is, there's no din of Zochin until it reaches the hand of the shliach. But Tzvi, you're asking the question, what's the chiddush here? Of course we know there's no get lachar misa. There's no, right, that's a Mishnah Mufureshet later on, that there's no get lachar misa. Tosfos says over here that the chiddush of our Mishnah is, despite the fact that I appointed a shliach to act on my behalf, that this shliach does not survive me. I mean, you would think because I've now empowered the shliach to act on my behalf, that once I'm dead, that the shliach can continue to do what he was authorized to do. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is exactly that. That when I die, the shlichus dies with me. That the shliach cannot continue to execute, even though I gave him the authority to execute prior to my death. As soon as I die, the shlichus is terminated. And that's what Tosafot says, the chiddush of our Mishnah is versus the Mishnah later on in Gittin that says that there is no enshtaris, there's no get, achar misa. First, there's no get, achar misa. Over here, the bigger chiddush is that even though I've made a shliach prior to misa, that shlichus does not continue after misa. Okay, now. Right, so that's the question. What's Tosafot's Havamina? It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, that's the bigger chiddush is the Havamina of Tosafot, that you could have a shlichus that should persist beyond the death of the person who authorized the shlichus. And I agree with you. That Havamina is harder, but that's what Tosafot says the Havamina is here. But that Havamina is the chiddush. So now, continuing the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shpura bar Marta Mishmei de Rav. So Rav makes a statement about our Mishnah here, about the money in our Mishnah. That what's vehu shitzivurim umenochim bekeren zavit. It only works if the money is actually piled up. There's a physical pile of the money in a corner. Now, what does that mean? Why does Rav require in our Mishnah, when he says give this money over to someone, he requires it be, you know, physically present in a corner? Why is that true? So Gemara Yiskinan, what's the case in the Mishnah? Ilema bebori, if we're talking about a healthy person here, kitzburim my havi, right? So what that they're piled up in the corner? Halo moshach, he never made a kinyan on them. I mean, if you don't make a kinyan, then what's the validity of the gift here without a kinyan? Hello, b'shchimira. Well, we're talking about someone's on his deathbed. Ma'ir yitzvurin. Why do you need all the money to be piled up? Kein zvurinami. Even if they're not piled up there, the ha'kaimelon, we know that divrei shchimira kiktuvim surim damu. That's the takanas chachamim, that when you have the shchimira speaks, that we consider it as if there's a kinyan, right, a finalized kinyan that's being done at this point in time, in order to take away or to ease the, you know, the death throes of this individual, we say whatever he says is considered to be the gamre or to be done. So now the Gemara is left with a question over here: is what is Rav's statement about Tzvurim? Why do we need the money to be piled up, and how does that help us out in the Mishnah of Tzumah Lishponi Umeit Itnu Lachar Misa? What does that do for us? So now, the first thing I want to point out is Rashi over here says, well, even if you say it's a bari over here, that it's a healthy individual, if the individual passes away, right, we have a general principle in the Gemara that we are mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, that there's a mitzvah to uphold or to do whatever the meis said. So if someone made a statement during their lifetime, then their children should activate or should try their best to carry out the instructions of that individual. So even if you say babari over here, that he passes away, halo mashach, he didn't make a kinyan. Even without a kinyan, if he passes away, right, that you should have to give it over. So Rashi goes and says that this gemara is according to the Manda Amar, that there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. This gemara is according to the one that says that there's no mitzvah to carry out the words of the meis, and therefore you're not obligated, the children are not obligated to do this on behalf of the meis. Tosfos also over here says a similar reasoning to Rashi and says the same thing, that it's according to the Chachamim, who argue in Rabbi Meir and said it's not, there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. But then the Beinu Tam actually makes two qualifications in mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, which are very interesting. I'm pointing them out because they're very interesting. First one is that Rabbeinu Tam explains, Vod mafarish retem, delo aminu on mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, el bedover shehushlosh mitchila l'kach biyad shlish. The only time we say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis is when the person already gave it over to a third party to execute on his behalf. Only once it's given to that third party to execute on his behalf do we say it's mitzvah, the kind of divrei meis, to continue to execute what the meis began. That's one. And number two, qualification that Rabbi Yenotam makes, very, very interesting. It says, that when it comes to a ger, we don't say that there's a mitzvah, the kayim divrei meis. The chod the iteber yerusha, mitzvah, the kayim dvarav. When do we say that there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis? When a person has a din of Yerusha min HaTorah. Because if he has a din of Yerusha min HaTorah, then ho v'lo pasa kocho, since his control over the money or his possessions hasn't been left yet, Because how do the Yorshim get it? The Yorshim get it because he's giving it to them. That's the continuum even after he's dead. So therefore, if he says mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz, it's because he still has some sort of control over the Yerusha. Of a ger, by a ger, the let b'Yerusha. A ger has no Yerusha, right? Because he's a katan shenola dami, so minatari has no din of Yerusha. So therefore, we posa kochel mimono. He doesn't have any control over his money anymore. If he doesn't have control over his money anymore, there's no din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz, because he's not shayach to his possessions after death. So the two very important things that Rabbeinu Tam says, when we say, even though we paskin, that we are mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz, Rabbeinu Tam qualifies it in two ways. One is, it has to be given over to a shlish, has to be given over to a third party to begin the execution. And number two is it does not apply to a ger. A ger does not, we don't have the din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz by a ger. Either way, Tosfos and Rashi point out here that this gemara is according to the one who says, the chachamim who say that it's not, that it's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz, and that's why we have the problem here. So now, the solution, we have two solutions that are going to be suggested over here to what's the gemara talking about. We have a mishnah that says, if a person says, give this mana, give this coin, give this money to the other individual, then you give it even after death. So now, Rav qualified and said it's only if the money is piled up. What's the case? And that's what we're missing here. The Gemara says if the case is a bari, then why should it work? You need a full kinyan. And who cares about being piled up? You need a mashach. You need a full kinyan. If the shchiv mira, then you don't need anything. Because as soon as he says it, it's qualified as a kinyan. So therefore, why do I need tzvurin? Even if it wasn't tzvurin, it should work. So it answered Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. So Amar Rav Zvid, La'olam Bibari. We're talking about a healthy individual here. Uke the Rav Hun Amar Rav. We're talking about a case of Rav Hun Amar Rav. The Amar Rav Hun Amar Rav, Mono li biyotcha, tneu lo leploni b'mamad shloshtam kana. So we're introducing a concept which the Gemara will deal with on the second Amud. I'll skim over it now. I'll just explain it broadly, and then they will take a lot more detail on it on the second Amud. But over here he's saying that it's talking about a healthy person who says, he's a creditor. This individual is a creditor, so it's Reuven. It's a creditor to Shimon. He goes in and says to Shimon, you know what, instead of paying me, give the money to Levi. Don't pay me back, give the money to Levi. But that is, b'mamad shloshtam. They were all present. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi were all present at that time. So if he makes such a statement, then that's a good kinyan, and it works even without the regular format of kinyan of being moshach. So that's the case over here. The case over here is that it's mamad shloshtam. We have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, which means creditor, debtor, and, you know, giftee are all present. And the creditor says to the debtor, give the money to the giftee instead of to me. So that works. That works even without a kinyan. Now, according to this, why do we need tzvurin? Why do we need the money to be piled up? So we're going to see there's a machlokas on the second part of the Amud today, whether that mamad shloshtam, which is a type of, we'll see, in it, what type of kinyan, quote-unquote kinyan, does it only work by pikadon? Or does it even work by milveh? So according to Rav Zvid, he's going to suggest it only works by pikadon. When I've given it over to a third party as to be a shomer, then it works, then I can gift this to a third party, b'mamad shloshtam. So how come, what's tzvurin? Tzvurin is the equivalent of what? Of pikadon. Tzvurin means that the money is still extant, or the object is still extant, because it's piled up there. That's a pikadon. In a milveh, we know that the money, mamon hotzan itna, the money's given away for the guy to use. It's not existent anymore. It's gone. Right, so if the money's gone, you can't talk about tzvurin. So Rav Zvid says our case in our Mishnah is a case of a bari, it's a healthy individual. He's gifting it through mamad shloshtam, which is the presence of three parties. It's a pikadon, which means that it was tzvurin. It's something that he gave over to a shomer, and then he says to the shomer, "Don't give the pikadon back to me. Give it to a third party. Give it to Levi." So that's how Rav Zvid solves the problem, explains our Mishnah according to Rav. Now, Rav Papa gives an alternative explanation. Rav Papa Omar, the Olam B'Shchiv Meira. We're talking about a case with someone who is on his deathbed. Ude Idach the Rav. And another statement of Rav, the Omar Rav, Shchiv Meira. Shamar Tznu Mona Leploni, Min Nichsai. Person who says, give this money from my possessions. Mona Zeh. If he says, this money, notnim, we give it. Manastam, if he just says, give money, money to him, we don't, ain't notnim, we don't give it. Why? Hashina and Shema Mana cover Kamar. Because maybe he's not talking about the money that's right here, but maybe he has some money that's deposited somewhere or stored away, and he meant that money. And until we know about that other money, we don't know what he's referring to, so we can't give away the money. Now, the Gemara, as an aside, points out, we're not choshesh for this problem, but according to Rav Papa, we're talking about a Shchiv Meira here, and a Shchiv Meira on his deathbed, when he gifts money, depends how he formulates the gift. If he says the gift is, right, he says manazeh, this money, then we give the gift because we know what he's talking about. If he says manastam, any money, then he can't give it because we worry about the other stuff. And that's what the code word, what Rav says in our mission, is talking about zvurin, that the money was piled up, means that the money is identifiable. We know what he wants to give as a gift. So when he says tnu mana leponi, we know exactly what money he's talking about, and therefore we don't have to worry about he's talking about some money deposited somewhere else. So that's how Rav Papa solves the problem. I'll just point out here, the Girsan Ar Gemara reads that there's actually a case. He says tnu mana leponi niksai, and then the next statement is a qualifying statement, mana zeh and mana stam. Tosfos brings a Girsa down here that there are actually three cases over here. There's a case of tnu mana leponi niksai, give him a gift from my possessions, and then another two cases, which is manazeh and manastam, right, so that he wants to. Tosus in the end rejects it. I'm just pointing it out, but Tosus rejects that girsa, but you should know that some people suggest that there are three cases here and not two cases. Now, the Gemara wants to know, Rav Papa and Rav Zvid gave alternative explanations for the Mishnah, that last line in the Mishnah, according to Rav, who says that it's Tzvurin. The Gemara wants to know, why didn't each one of them hold like the other? Rav Papa, my tama lo amar k'Rav Zvid. Why does Rav Papa not use the suggestion of Rav Zvid, which was what? That it's a bari, and it's b'mamad shloshtan. So he says, kasava Rav Papa holds, and again, this is going to be later on in this amo today, k'amar Rav lo shnava milveh lo shnava pigodon. When this kinyan, or this functioning, this way to pass on chov works, it works whether it's a milveh or whether it's a pigodon. If it works whether it's a milva pikadon, then tzvurin is not relevant anymore. Because the piled up money is only relevant when you say this only functions by pikadon, not when it functions by milva and pikadon. So Rav Papa rejects Rav Zvid's explanation because he can't explain tzvurin. So now Rav Zvid, my time alone, America Rav Papa. Why didn't Rav Zvid accept the position of Rav Papa that we're talking about a shchiv meira here? So lo mitokma my snisa mishchiv meira. He says, Rav Zvid says, you can't explain our Mishnah with the shchiv meira. I don't know how Rav Papa is doing it. You can't explain it with the shchiv meira. Mi mai? Because miktani homer tnu get zeli ishti. Right? Because it says in the Mishnah, tnu get zeli ishti. Ushtar shichur zel avdi. Umes. And then he dies. Lo yitnu lachar misa. They can't give it after death. Time at the mace. Because he passed away, we don't give it. Ha mechayim notnim. If he was still alive, we would give it. Taima d'amar tnu. That's only because he said give it to him. Halomar tnu ain't no thing. Had he not said give the get, we wouldn't give it. But what's the din of a shchiv meira? Ubishchiv meira afagav d'lomar tnu notnim. By shchiv meira, even if he just says write this get, then we write the get and give it. We don't simply write it, we also give it. Because we implied in his saying write the get also means give the get. So he says the fact that it says tnu, give it in the Mishnah, tells us that means give, and that's only true of a bari, and not of a shchiv meira. Ditznan, we had a Mishnah. Barishona yomrim, right? So the Mishnah later on, we had this before in, was quoted in Ksubos also. Rishona yomrim yotzi bekolar, someone who goes out, right? He's being, taken out to death, basically. Vamar kitvu get lishti. He says, write a get for my wife. Hari elu yichtivu v'yitznu. Right? That they write the get and give it. Chazul omar afa mefaresh. That even someone who's going out on a long boat journey or someone's going out in a caravan, if he says to them, Kidvu, we say because he's torud in the, he's all busy with what's going on, he forgot to say tnu. But when he said Kidvu, he literally means write it and give it. Rabbi Shimon Zumir, Afa Mesukan, even someone who is in danger meaning someone is like a Shchiv Meira, when he says Kidvu, write it, means write it and give it. So now, obviously, Matkiv Lavarashi, my name alone, the Mastis and Rabbi Shimon Zuzurihi. Right, so this proof that, right, Rav Zvid says, I don't hold like Rav Papa is because our Mishnah can't be like Shchiv Meira. That's only according to Rav Shimon Shizuri. Rav Shimon Shizuri is the one who says that when I say Kidvu, write it, it also means give it. But if I hold like the Rabbanon, then that's not true. Then even if I say Kidvu, it means write it, and that's it. I don't give it. So I can't prove my Mishnah is not talking about Shchiv Meira from this case. And that's the answer that Rav Papa would give to Rav Zvid. Right, Adkan is the Gemara dealing with our Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to investigate, this is what I said earlier, investigate this concept called B'mamad Shloshtam. Mamad Shloshtam, again, is that there are parties here. How Mamad Shloshtam works and why it works, right, is a subject of Machlokas. We're going to see in the Gemara in a second. In the end, the Gemara concludes, which we'll get to in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara concludes that it's a hilchasa below taima. It's a locha that has no reason in the end. All right, but up front, the Gemara is going to test or attempt to find out what the reasoning behind this mamad shloshtan is and how it works. All right, so we'll see it. I'm going to point out some interesting things in the Tosfos. The Tosfos is the opinions that Tosfos express over here are argued among the Rishonim, and based on the arguments in the Rishonim, we will try to suggest some chakiro to try to understand how this mamad shloshtan works over here. Now, gufa, amar avun amar av, mono li biyodcha, right? This money that you owe me, sneo lo leploni, give it to someone else, give it to a third party. The mamad shloshtan, if all three parties are present, kana, it works. So amar rava, rava says, mistavra milse derav pikadon. Rav's statement makes sense when we're talking about a pikadon. Right, but aval b'milve lo, but by a loan, that's not true. Again, why does it make sense by a pikadon? Because a pikadon is existent. I mean that there's functionally there's something there. There's actually an object there, and if I say give that object to a third party, so it makes sense that we can do it. By a milve, there's nothing left. All there is that he owes me something. He owes me money. How can I transfer that idea of owing me money to someone else? That doesn't make so much sense. And again, that was the position, if you remember, right? That was the position of how we explained, Rav Zvid explained our Mishnah. Rav Zvid explained our Mishnah that why did Rav require Tzvurin in our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah, that case is only true by Pikadon. Pikadon is the only time you can have Mamad Shlushtam. I can only transfer my ownership to a third party when we're talking about an object that exists. How can I transfer my ownership in something that I don't really own? The money's not there anymore. All I have an IOU. Right, he is Shmishuba to me. How can I transfer that? I don't own that. Now the Gemara says, Balukim Amarava Filu B'Milve. Right, that what Rav himself said, that it works even by Milve. Not only does it work by Pikidon, but it also works by Milve. Itmar Nami Amar Shmuel Mishmei De Levi. Shmuel said the name of Levi. Right, so it says, Milva Libi Odcha. I have a loan to you. I mean, the creditor says to the debtor, I have a loan with you. Snail Ola Ploni, instead of paying me back, give it to this third party. If you do it in front of all three parties, kana, it works. All right, so now, again, what's the case? We'll describe the two cases. By Pikadon, what's the case? Reuven, right, gives over to Shimon his money to watch. So Shimon is a shomer on behalf of Reuven. Then Reuven says, instead of returning that money to me, give that money to Levi. If Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are all present when he says that, that is a good kinyan. And Shimon must now give the money to Levi instead of giving it back to Reuven. The second case, what's the case by Milva? The case is Milva. Reuven is a creditor to Shimon. Shimon's the debtor. Reuven's the creditor. So Reuven says to Shimon, instead of paying me back the debt, give the money to Levi. Again, if it's in the presence of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, then that's kana. That is, Shimon will pay Levi instead of Shimon back now. That's how it works here. So the Gemara wants to know, time am I? How does it work here? Now again, by pikadon, it seems very straightforward how it works here. Pikadon, the object exists, and he's just telling him, give the object to this other gentleman instead of back to me. That's it. So the real challenge is to figure out, how does this work with Milveh? How can I gift something that I don't own? Again, all he does is, Shimon is a debtor, means that he owes me money. But there's nothing physical that he has that I can say, transfer that to Levi. So how does that get transferred? So the Gemara is going to give two suggestions today, and then we'll have a third suggestion again, which is what I told you already tomorrow, which is this is a hilchasa below taima. So the first piece. So Amar Meimar. So Meimar said, Nasek Omer lo b'shat matan ma'ot. So it's the equivalent. At the time that the loan goes into effect, he says, Shabana lecha, right? I am encumbered to you, right? Lidzach u'lechol da'atu machmatach. Or anyone who you choose. So meaning that at the time of the loan, right, the malve and the love have an agreement that the love encumbers himself, right, or is mortgaging himself to the extent that he says it's either to you or anyone who's a derivative claimant of you. So that there's no change. The shibud actually, so then when I go later on and Reuven, the creditor, goes out and transfers to Levi, all of that is igle milsa. I've been, right, retroactively, I've established who the shibud belonged to from the beginning. So now, that's the igle milsa, that's Rashi's igle milsa, the mishat matan ma'ot ishtabale, that from the original time. So really, the malve that has a right to the encumbering, the encumberment of the love, And he could choose where that sits, because at the time that they entered into the agreement was that the Lova will be encumbered to the Malva and anybody else who is a derivative of the Malva. So Amalei Ravashi says, wait, that works. Amemer Elamata, Hikna Lalo Naladim, Dolav Ushat Matan Maot, Hakanami Dolo Konu. The way you're formulating the way it functions here, what happens if someone was not alive at the time that the transaction originally took place? For instance, people were born after the transaction took place. Now you want to transfer ownership to that. Levi is born after the money was lent by Reuven to Shimon. Now Levi's born. What are you going to say? He's transferring the Sheba that existed. Retroactively, he's getting the Sheba that existed at the time, right, that the that loan was given. They didn't. Levi wasn't around. He didn't exist at that time. So after you say Yigalei Milsa, that was where the Sheba was. So, Hachanami to Lokanu. Right? What are you going to say? That in that case, they're not Kona. It doesn't work. Dafilu the Rabbi Meir. Even according to Rabbi Davar, Damar Adam Makna Davar Shlo Bali Olam, a person can make a kinyan on something that doesn't exist. For instance, you can sell the fruits that my tree will produce. Right? In the future, this tree will produce fruits. You can sell something that does not exist yet, but in the future will exist. Hani Milei the Davar Shiyeshno Ba Olam, that you can only sell this to a Kone, someone, the recipient, exists, right? But if you're selling this object to someone who doesn't exist yet, even Rabbi Meir agrees you can't create such a kinyan. So the way you, Amemar, are formulating how this Mamad Shloshtan works for Milveh, that it has to do with the Shibud at the moment of the loan, right? Then what? That Shibud could only work for people who existed at the time of the loan. If someone didn't exist at the time of the loan, it won't work. So that's why they're going to say, all right, doesn't seem to work. That's not a good explanation for it. So the next explanation is Ela Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says it's coming from the side of the Lova, not from the side of the Malva, but from the side of the Lova. Right? Bahai Hano, the Kamishtani Le Ben Milva Yishana, right? La Milva Chadasha. For the fact that he changes it from an old loan to a new loan, Gomor Mishabin Napshe. So the Lova is willing over here to change who he's encumbered to because there's a benefit in the transference of the ownership. Meaning that before he had Reuven, who was his creditor, now he has Levi. Levi is a new creditor. Why does it make a difference if he's a new creditor? So that's what Rashi says over here. That by having a new creditor, he thinks that the payment schedule is going to get pushed out. Because maybe if Reuven's already been bothering him for a year to pay it back, now all of a sudden, Levi, this is the first Levi saw of the, you know, scene of the loan. So he's going to start, you know, maybe he has another year. It gives him, buys him more time for the loan. For that ability to have more time, the Lova is willing to encumber himself to the new party. So this change in ownership is not being done by the Malva. It's being done by the Lova. The Lova is willing to change the encumberment because of the benefit that he is accepting. So now, of course, what's the question here? Amalei Huna Marbarev the Rav Nechemia, the Rav Ashi, Eliata, Kagon Hani, Debei Bar El Yashiv. Right, so those people of Bar Yashiv, the Kafte Vishakle, they tie them up and they collect La Altar right away, meaning that they don't, as soon as they have a loan, they come in to collect. So, I mean, your whole position is that the benefit that he gets by extending the loan, he'll be Meshavah Nafshe. What happens if he ends up with a creditor that's not willing to extend the terms? He says, pay me right away. If he says to me, pay me right away, there's no Hana to the Lova, and therefore the encumberment doesn't move. Hachanami to Lokanu? Right? So then he say, what? He's not gonna be Kona. If you say in that case it won't work, in that case that you're making your whole case subjective. We don't have an objective standard here, become a subjective standard, and we don't like that when we have a takanas chachamim. All right. Well, in terms of the Gemara, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow with the Gemara. Now I just want to explain, I mean, we'll point out a couple of things in Tosos and explain how does this kinyan of Mamad Shloshtan work over here. It's not, first thing to point out, if you look in Tosfos Gufa on Amud Bet over here, you see Tosfos Gufa says Omer Rivav Chen Rabbeinu Tam Demamad Gimel Kana Bal Korcho Shelove Oshel Nifkad, that this can be done against the will of the Nifkad or against the will of the Love, that the Malve can dictate the terms or the Mafkid can dictate these terms, and it doesn't matter whether the Love or the Nifkad acquiesces to this. That's the position of Tosfos. Point out to you that there are a number of Yishonim that disagree with this position of Tosfos and say that no, that he has to get acquiescence, that it has to be in the agreement of the Nifkad and the Loveh. The other thing is now, again, if you skip down to the next Tosfos, Tzneo Leploni Mamamad Gimel Kana, You give it in front of people, of three people, you connect. Omer Rebbeinu Tam. Da'afa gabda mocher shtar chov l'chaveiro. This is right, the case that Shaul, you were discussing. If you sell a shtar chov to a friend, b'chazor machlo machul. That case, it's machul. Then they've forgiven. That even if you sell the document, there's still a shibud that remains. Tosus explains, Exuvas explains, that even though he's transferred the shibud of the mamon, he hasn't transferred the shibud aguf. And therefore, the original creditor can be mochel the shibud aguf. Machor onotan b'matana b'mamach loshtan. If you function under mamach loshtan, einu yachol limchol. You cannot forget it. The creditor cannot forgive it. If he transferred it through mamach loshtan, you cannot forgive the loan. Again, there are many Rishonim that Tosos points out, others point out, there are many Rishonim who disagree with this Tosos and say that it just like by that you when you sell a shtar, you can be mochel. So too over here, you can be mochel. So the question is, what is this mamach loshtan? Mamach loshtan is you have all three parties are present, and just by a statement, it works. So the Rosh and others say that this was a takanas hashuk. This was done for commerce, to ease commerce. Why did it ease commerce? Because there were times when they came to the shuk, the person didn't have money on him to pay for the merchandise. So what he would do is instead of paying for the merchandise, he would say, listen, you owe me money. And he'd say to the merchant, look, this guy owes me money. He'll pay you and I'll take the merchandise here. So it's a way to ease transactions in the marketplace without having a formal kinyan. So they had this concept called mamach shloshtan. That's what the Rosh says. Now, how does this mamach shloshtan function? Does it function that the party, the nifkad or the loveh, now becomes the shliach of the malver or the mafkid? Meaning when I say to the debtor, give the money to Levi instead of me, am I appointing him to be my shliach? Am I now empowering him? I'm saying, instead of giving the money to me, you're now my shliach to give the money to Levi. Or am I saying that when I say to Levi, give the money to, when I'm saying to Shimon, give the money to Levi, I'm saying, I'm done with this. I'm out of the picture now. The transaction is now between you and Levi. Right, so now how does mamach shloshtan function? And that maybe have nafkamina zalocha. I mean, if we say that it can be baal korcho or not baal korcho or mochlo or not mochlo? Tosfos says you cannot be mochel on, right? You cannot be mochel on a mamach shloshtan. So from Tosfos it sounds like, right, that the malve, the creditor, is out of the picture. Once he does this in front of three people, he gives over, it's as if that there's a new debt that exists between the Shimon and Levi, similar to what Rav Ashi, right? Similar to what Rav Ashi says in the Gemara. So Rav Ashi says, as if there's a new debt created here, and therefore, Reuven's out of the picture. The creditor's out of the picture. The creditor's out of the picture, then if he's mochel, it has no impact because he's gone. Whereas if you say that what? That Reuven is really appointing Shimon as a shliach, so instead of paying money to me, pay it to Levi. Then what? Then when Reuven comes along and is mochel on the loan, it's still his loan, right? Shimon is just his agent to exercise and give the money to Levi. So if he comes along and afterwards and says, you know what, I forgive the loan, he still has shaykhus to the loan because Shimon is just acting as an agent on his behalf to give it to Levi. That sounds more like who? Amemar. Amemar says that it all has to do with the malva. The malva has the ability to move around who he gets the payment to, who the shlich is to. And I say the same thing by Baal Korcho. You can divide up Baal Korcho whether he's allowed to do it against the will of the lover or not. If he makes the lova into a shliach, right? If he makes the lova into a shliach, then obviously he needs the acquiescence of the shliach to make it work as a shlichus over here, right? But if he's not a shliach, meaning that the loan is being totally transferred out of his possession, then it can be done against the will of the, possibly done against the will of the lova, because what? He's not functioning as a shliach of Reuven. He has no choice. The malva gets to make that decision. The malva makes that decision, and it's done. It's out of his possession. So that'd be a chakir and trying to explain mamach loshtan. Is mamach loshtan as if now there's a new transaction? I mean, there was original transaction, there's a new transaction. Or are we saying that you're making a shliach? Mamach loshtan functions by appointing the party, the lover, the debtor, or the nifkad, the shomer, to be my shliach. And then we saw some nafkaminot over here. There's an additional nafkamino, which Tosfos discusses over here, but mamach loshtan says about a goy. What happens if it involves a non-Jew? What happens if the debtor is a non-Jew? Can you create mamach loshtan with a non-Jew? So if you think it's functioning either through zchia, through kinyan, or you think it's functioning through shlichus, a goy doesn't have zchia and a goy does not have shlichus. So if that's the case, then it won't work. Mamach loshtan won't work for a goy. If it's the idea is that you can transfer the whole loan over, possibly it could work with a goy, even with a non-Jew. And again, it depends who the non-Jew is. Is the non-Jew the creditor, the debtor, or the recipient? In each of these cases, it will make a difference about how you view Mamad Shlushtan. The last thing I want to say about Mamad Shlushtan is, how does Mamad Shlushtan work? Is it taking the place of a kinyan? I mean, what's the whole point of a kinyan, right? The point of a kinyan is Gemiras Hadas. I mean, if we just talk between us and I say, yeah, you know what, I'll give it to you, right? I could say I was fooling around. There's no real, right, there's no stamp that says this is official. How do we make it official? We do a kinyan. A kinyan is something, Gemiras Hadas, right? It gives some sort of finality to what we have done. Right, closes the deal. So same thing over here. Maybe Mamad Shlushtan takes the place of kinyan. I mean, because you have all three parties here, it takes on a certain, you know, seriousness because the three parties are here. And there's a kisufa. That's what some of the, like the tzos and others talk about over here, that there's an embarrassment about going back on your word. Because it was done through the, in front of these three parties, there's a finality to the deal because you'd be embarrassed to be mochel or to reverse yourself in such a transaction. So therefore, Mamad Shlushtan is working as a replacement for kinyan. That's one way to view Mamad Shlushtan. Or you could view Mamad Shlushtan doesn't work as a kinyan at all. It's not a kinyan. It's a takanas, a shuk, like we said before. It was something that was done to ease transactions or merchandising, and therefore it was made. It's os kinyan. There is no kinyan here. It doesn't function as a kinyan. It's just something that the Chachamim said established that this works because we want to make the marketplace more fluid or more liquid. And because of that, we established this to function not as a kinyan, but this is just a way that we have to make our ma'afshir. It's a vehicle for being our process for being ma'afshir such a kinyan.
And if you look in the Tosfot read at the bottom of Yud Gimel Aleph, it sounds a little bit like that. The last line in Yud Gimel Aleph, the Tosfot read says, "Lo amrin gabei matana kol omer tznu kol omer tzchud ami kiim gabei chovu pikadon." When a person says tznu give, that we said tznu means also tzchi, meaning take possession of it, make a kinyan on it. We only say that by chovu pikadon. We don't say that by a gift. But even by Mamad Shlushtan, even by a matana, it's kana hamakaba avak the lotain below malotzchu. Even though he says to him, give it to him, he doesn't say be zochen it, don't make a kinyan. Meaning that Mamad Shlushtan does not need the din of tzchiyah, doesn't need a din of kinyan. It just needs a tain. Give it to him, and that will be sufficient to create the Mamad Shlushtan.
All right, so that's just a little feeling for what Mamad Shlushtan is. And again, tomorrow we'll get into, maybe we'll do a drop more tomorrow, where the Gemara concludes it's a hilchos b'lo taima. That's halacha without any reasoning. We have to understand, what does that mean? It's halacha without any reasoning, meaning what part is without a reason and what part has a reason to it. And we can discuss that a little bit tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here.